to all the solopreneurs, startup and small business owners. Cheers to you. Those with the courage to set out with an idea and bring it into reality. Maybe very quickly you realize that running a business takes all kinds of skills. Many you have, but maybe some you don't. The Good for Business show is designed to help your business grow by having fun but valuable conversations with the best industry leaders across sales, marketing, content creation, and mindset. So let's get into this week's conversation with your host, Michelle J. Raymond. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Good for Business show. I'm your host, Michelle J. Raymond, and I'm super excited to be here today with my guest, your LinkedIn gal, Selena Yeung. And for people who haven't met Selena before, I'm going to let her do a quick intro and a quick background of who you are and how you help people on LinkedIn.
Absolutely. Michelle, I'm super excited to be in your show. I'm Selena. I think Michelle just introduced me very well. I'm your LinkedIn gal. I have my own LinkedIn podcast, also calling the Your LinkedIn Gal. And I'm based in Miami, Florida right now. So in the past 12 years, I've been in the B2B marketing and sales space. And most recently, last 5 years, I worked as account director at LinkedIn marketing solution team. But a year ago, I decided to quit my corporate job at LinkedIn in the middle of COVID and start my own company. And now I'm the founder of the In Academy, focusing on two things, which is advertising for B2B companies, as well as teaching entrepreneur coaches how to use LinkedIn for business.
This is super exciting because you and I started around the same time. In March 2020, I quit a job that I just couldn't work for the boss that I had no idea what my new business would be. Fast forward, landed in being a LinkedIn trainer almost by accident. I come from the beauty industry, selling chemicals and stuff. And so I reached out to help a former competitor and said to her, look, if you try this and this on LinkedIn, it'll really help. And thankfully for me, she turned around, she said, where did you learn all this stuff? I wish I could learn from you. And I had a light bulb go off and the rest is history, as they say. Yeah. And so you and I have been on a solopreneur journey, 12 months or so for the most part, at a time when COVID has impacted the world in so many different ways. Tell me what your experience of the last 12 months has been, because often we talk about entrepreneurs, like it's super exciting and super fun and it's only up and flashy cars and lots of money coming in. But if you don't mind, share some of the highs and lows that have come through. What's it really been like for you? And I'm going to share some of mine as well.
Yeah, yes, please. I will start right in the beginning. So I quit my corporate job without a plan, really without a plan. And I started to even writing a blog about LinkedIn. I'm not even honed into the LinkedIn space yet. I don't know what I wanted to do. I also don't know I want to start a business. So everything just started with a blog. And the funny thing is, I don't even enjoy writing. I don't like writing long form articles. If you see me, right, Michelle, you saw me tons of video on LinkedIn because I enjoy doing it. And I like to show up for my audience in that way. So I started to write blog and talk about like how to cancel your LinkedIn premium, how to use LinkedIn, no longer just a CV. Because like you share, there's a global pandemic happening and there's so many people lost their job and there's a booming of people using LinkedIn to find jobs as well as find their next opportunity. So this is where I just started blogging about it and it just blew out. My ex-clients back at LinkedIn asked me to be one of the speakers to train their sales team on how to use LinkedIn for business. And I was like literally Googling how much should I be asking, because back at LinkedIn, I can't charge people for training like this. So I started with this and then it rolled over to a B2B deal. And that's how I started my entire business. So this is like a whole roller coaster curve in the get-go when I started.
It sure is. And I describe it, I'd come from running a business for somebody else. I had 30 direct reports. I had 20 years of selling, 10 years of social selling. I've worked in many different departments in corporate. And I was like, this will be easy. I know how to do enough stuff. And then I become my own business owner and there's no regular paycheck that comes in. And then all of a sudden I felt like I was on a tightrope and there was no net underneath to catch me. And then all the self-doubt comes in. And then you think, is this a good idea? And some of my ideas were not good ideas, but we were just talking about how things evolve over time. And it's in the very beginning, the scariest thing I've ever done, hardest thing I've ever done. It was just absolutely crazy because all of a sudden I realized you don't have a team to do the things that you took for granted. For me, my Achilles heel has always been graphic design. Like you say you don't like writing, I don't like designing. And when I started looking at getting other people to do it for me, it was like, how about I just pull out my wallet and just donate all of my money to them? What are some of the highs and lows that you've had? Obviously, it's exciting. You've got a successful business. You've built your followings. But what's the flip side to that's happened as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I love talking about the reality here. So the lows is real. I think the reality is people always constantly glamorize entrepreneurship. I think people have such a flip side of how amazing it is for their financial freedom, freedom of doing the things that you love, obviously. And there's so much things come around it, right? Like, for example, yeah. Once you do that, you'd be super, super successful. You get featured at Forbes, featured in Business Insider. There's so much pressure, I would say. And this is not the picture. And back to your point, Michelle, you're so right. Like, the imposter syndrome comes in because you are exposed to so many information and content. And thanks to the algorithm, you're an entrepreneur. They just keep feeding you with different of your competitor. Of people that go like 10 or 5 or 15 years experience doing the exact same thing that you are trying to build a space out of you. So I would say the lows could go really low if you have a really bad mindset. But you've got to work on your mindset by the end of the day. I know I hate talk about mindset sometimes because it's such an oversaturated topic, but I believe mindset sometimes really help us to really give us a positive energy. If I don't use the word mindset, I would like to use the word energy. Like if you bring into this live show with positive energy rather than exhausted or not being in a good mood, your audience can feel it. So similarly, as an entrepreneur, there is highs and high and low. And when it comes to your low days, you just need to be aware of it. Because like you said, solopreneurs is difficult. You're on your own. Nobody tell you what to do. You're your own boss and your own time schedule.
And for me, I'll never forget when you send out that first proposal and someone says no, and then you start doubting the whole thing. Is it the pricing? Is it me? Is it my offer is silly? Your brain just goes into a spiral. And it is really important, I think, to create a community of real supporters and cheer squads around you to help you get through those days. Because that's probably been my biggest lesson, is that I can't do it all by myself. Because realistically, I thrive being part of a team. The hardest thing for me was working from home by myself. I hate it. And I still hate it. I've gotten better and I've adjusted, but I went from having 30 people, as I said, at me all day, every day. And I loved it. The firefighting that comes from what's going on, what's the energy, all that kind of stuff. But you know, here we are, we keep going. And I think that's the important point, is that you just keep going. And I want to have this conversation because I want to inspire the people that are back day one and we're at day 365. And there are people, as you said, that are 15 years down the track that are ahead of us that we're chasing. And then there's always someone bigger and better. It doesn't matter. There's always someone bigger. So why do you think it's actually important for people to build a digital personal brand?
Yeah, sure. I love how you summarized earlier the highs and lows when it comes to solopreneurs. And when it comes to building personal brand, I think it's super important when we trace back the COVID situation, right? You will lose your job just tomorrow if you do not build your personal brand, which is an extension of yourself online. Like, who is talking behind you when you're not in the room, right? That's your personal brand digitally. That's something that it's so powerful if you don't really focusing on it. Even though you lose your job, you still have your personal brand. You have a very strong way of sort of like dealing with things. You have built your amazing community. There is people that wanted to follow you, follow your path. It's much more powerful if you start doing it right now. And I would say, even though you might be in a corporate job, don't want to think about entrepreneurship or business owner, still having your personal brand would bring a lot of benefit to you.
And I think we saw during COVID that what actually happened was things that people never planned or expected, they'd been in jobs for a long period of time, all of a sudden were laid off. That is not the time to start building your personal brand. I kind of think about it like an insurance policy. Maybe you don't need it today. Maybe it will help you in your role, but just in case something happens, we live in crazy times right now. And I think uncertainty is definitely a big part of it. Now I talk about it as far as company brands. And one of the reasons that I went into company pages and saw that as an important thing for businesses, here's why. I started a job, built up a huge personal brand in the beauty space, and that's where I built my followers on LinkedIn. Then all of a sudden, I get poached by another competitor. I take all of those followers, go and start at the new company. The one that I left, they were left with nothing. But then it happened again. I end up in a new job and my followers and my personal brand come with me and there was nothing left for the company. So this is why I recognize the need. I love personal branding. I love building up employees or individuals. But I also recognize that there's an opportunity that if you do it for the company and use the company to build up the individual's personal brand, then there was just this synergy where 1 + 1 = 3. And so that's why I got excited about not necessarily company pages, because they have their challenges. I don't need to have that conversation with people. But it was just, don't forget that if you have a strong company brand, that's only going to help your employees just as much. We live in a digital world now. You're absolutely right on that one. But as solopreneurs or small business owners, time is a challenge. You're wearing your accounting hat, your customer service hat, you're doing a training, you're grabbing coffee, as you would say. How are you going to make this content thing work in reality, the day-to-day?
Yeah, I like this questions a lot, Michelle, but I want to go back to the reason, right? Why do you need to create content? Because there's people like, oh, I just perfect my LinkedIn profile. That's it. I have this amazing website, but you need to work on it. Just like your website, you need to create blog. There's a reason, because you want to build SEO. Similarly, for LinkedIn profile, the only way that pushes your brand further is through content. And there's a huge shocking data is there's only 2% of LinkedIn content creator are creating content on a weekly basis, which means there's huge opportunity, like Michelle's business model, right? There's nobody doing LinkedIn. I mean, nobody doing LinkedIn company page. And that's why you hone onto this really niche down. And similarly for you, if anybody is listening, you're not creating content, I'm so sorry to bring it to you. You're truly missing out. So creating content is the cornerstone for your business to really show up for your audience. And sometimes you might get discouraged, right? Oh, there's only a few people liking, but did you see how many views are looking? And funnily, LinkedIn is such an interesting platform that there is people right in someone's employer contract that they cannot reply or comment on someone's post because they're in such an interesting dynamic of their job position. So you need to think about that. And I have like more than 80 or 90% of executive profiles come to me, direct DMs that want to work with me. They never like engage and comment on my post, but they seem
so. Can I tell you what it's like? And this is an analogy. So when people come to someone like yourself and they get this amazing profile done up and everything's cranking, and then they sit back and do nothing, expecting that it's going to be like the miracle cure. Yeah. I call it, you don't go and buy a Ferrari and park it in the garage. You've got to take it for a spin.
Love that. Totally. And we're all Ferrari right here. So you've got to really show up, let people know how amazing, how fast you are, how incredible you are, how premium, how luxury you are. But content is really the cornerstone for it. So this is the why. I think once one person really understand the why, it just motivates you. Because I don't want, like, majority of the clients as well come to me like feeling very exhausted, really draining, and they go into this content creation rat hole and don't really thinking the why. But once they figure out why they're creating content, and they will feel like much better, like after they create it for a week, second week, a month, and they started seeing traction because they know it's a long-term thing. It's not something that you just do and show up for one day, like a Ferrari that you just drive we out wish. For one day. Exactly. You need to do it a couple of rounds so that people can see you. So I think this is why is it so important to understand the why.
And just so people know, back when you first start creating content, it feels horrible. It is the most weird kind of feeling to put this stuff out there, expecting in your head to get judged and trolled and all of the negative stuff that comes out. And people, just so you know, I started doing video about 12 months ago because I signed up for a digital marketing course. And in that course, the first module said that I had to do a 5-minute video. And I freaked. I was like, there is no way I'm going to do this course. I cannot do this course. I cannot do a 5-minute video and talk on camera. Now, fast forward, the irony is that I host LinkedIn Lives every week for almost 12 months now in various formats. And I'm guest on other shows. And I love it. But if you go back, that fear was real. And so this is why if you don't force yourself out of that comfort zone, you don't get to this point. And it doesn't start off magical on day one. My setup was a $20 ring light from a local store. And I have a box, and I still do, that my laptop sits on to make my camera the right level. So you just got to hustle sometimes. You know?
Get I scrappy. Love it. We just got scrappy. I use my yoga pillow for the longest time to just lift my computer to do my live. And I'm still yet having a dedicated room in my house I can do live streaming, despite yeah. I've like already do it like more than 55 episodes. So, but going back to what you just shared, Michelle, is so incredibly important to take that first step. Don't expect the first post, first video, everything is going to be perfect or it went viral. It's just not the reality. You just really need to think about, okay, you do it first time carrying a scientist mindset, you keep learning and perfecting and doing things better. And then the more that you edit, the faster you become. It's just how it is similarly for creating.
And we've lost track of, if I ask someone to speak in front of a busload of people, so think about a bus, it holds around roughly 50 people. Most people, that's an amazing audience. If you went to an industry event face-to-face, 50 people would overwhelm if we went to 100. But for some reason, when we get on LinkedIn, because we start comparing ourselves to other people, we start to think that view numbers like that is, oh man, I only got that. But if you think about real people and put it into a real situation, for me, the numbers, when you start talking in the thousands, imagine going and speaking in an event in front of 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 people. So you really don't need that big an audience. It's just getting to the right audience with the right content and being prepared to grow in front of other people. That's where the bravery and courage comes in. And the more that you do it, then you just get better at it. As you said, the scientist mindset. So how do you stretch your content? If you're trying to juggle everything, how do you make it go further?
I would say building a system that really works for you. Don't really look at other people's how they do it, and don't copy other people's content strategies to begin yes. with. There's so
Can you
many
say that people. One more time? Like, hang on, just say one more time. Do not copy other people.
Yeah, other people's content strategies, because it doesn't really work for you. For example, I love working with videos. If someone forces me to pump out 10 LinkedIn articles, kill me. It will be next year or 2 years after, I might have. So really start with a system, a frequency that you feel very comfortable with. So if you're listening and you're struggling, I would say start with these three things, right? One is find your perfect idea to talk about. One pillars or a vocal point, something that you're very good at talking, or your clients are like, oh my gosh, Michelle, this is so good. You talk about LinkedIn company page so clearly. I love it. Talk about that. And something that you're passionate about. Marry both together. Then think about your content pillars. This is the first step anybody should be doing. Then next, choose a format that you feel very comfortable with. For instance, I really enjoy doing video just because I find it really engaging, very fun. Then when I created it, I don't feel exhausted. I feel very inspired and I'm in my genius zone. So find that for yourself as well. If you're a writer, do a text post. If you are a long form writer, do a LinkedIn article. If you're someone like Michelle, like a bit of mix, she can do a really good engaging live show like this. So find a format that really channels your personality as well as your business well. Last but not least, find a frequency that work for you. This is the most important point, right? Like Michelle, very good analogy. You have a Ferrari, you don't park at the garage because you really want to do a stroll, let people know how rich you are or how amazing you got the car, things like that. So consistently showing up for your audience is super important. Whether it's weekly or bi-weekly, just find something to start with and then scale up. But scale up slowly. Don't do it like one and then you bam, do it every day. You will just go into this content creation sort of machine. Yeah.
Look, it's so true that I find that people, it's New Year's resolutions. We're 30 days in. Who were the people that say we're going to start off the year and they went out hard and the first week they were like, yes. Second week, yes. Third week, mm-hmm. Yeah. And now we're a month in. Where are we at, people? Let us know in the comments if this is something you can resonate with, because even when people say to me, what's the ideal number of posts that you should do on a company page? The first thing I say is step back. What are the realistic resources that you have? Ultimately, that's what's going to drive this. And I can't just say, do this or do that, because if I say to you, okay, post 5 days a week and you don't have the resources, you might do it on the first week, then you'll disappear and go, it's all too hard and it doesn't work. So the consistency as well as persistency. So we're talking long-term here, whether it's building a personal brand or a company brand, it doesn't happen overnight. For me, as you said, finding something that you enjoy. Don't be afraid to try things that are outside of your lane. If it's fear that's stopping you, that's not a reason. Like, it push yourself to see maybe you will enjoy things if you practice a few different times. And we've all got different audiences. So that's why I play around with things. Obviously have my preferred styles. For me, stretching my content this year means I'm writing more long form, your ideal nightmare. I'm writing two newsletters. So I've got a company page newsletter and a personal newsletter. But I'm then turning those into other things. Like, this will be turned into a podcast. My newsletters get turned into a podcast. And I'm just playing around with things. I've never done a podcast before. So play around, people. I think what you and I do well is we have fun and play and don't take this too seriously. Is that fair of me to say that for you?
100%. I mean, by the day, growing your business should be a fun thing, right? You don't have a boss hanging over you and telling you what to do. You can thrive in your own terms. And if you want to take a half day off, do that. You can do whatever you want. But as long as you are having fun, it's not you are so stressed every single day trying to pump up content that you're not proud of.
Yeah. And I think that's when you start to try and copy other people, like you said. I can tell you, when you try and be your LinkedIn version of you, creating content is the worst thing in the world. It's only when you actually stop and go, there's only one of you. There might be 800 million people on LinkedIn, but none of them are. This is a message I love to try and get to people. It does not matter if there are other people in your industry. It doesn't matter if you think, the thing that I think stops people is they think, I've got nothing original to say. Who cares? It's all been said before. These kind of things, mindset, like you said, we think very alike with this kind of stuff, because you get in your own way to not even put it out there, which means no one can even get to know you on any level.
100%. And I think also putting your ego back to another room, right? Try to store it as far as you can. I think there's a lot to play with the mindset, like you said, Michelle, but there's a lot of ego coming in, thinking like, oh, there's so many people judging me. I don't have something original to say, something that maybe not insightful, not expertise, but you never know. And the way how you communicate to your audience as well, you would attract a very different tribe than my tribe, and your tribe are very different, Michelle. So really look in that glance when you're creating content for your ideal dream clients. This is the way to go.
So you love creating video and content, especially. Can you share any secret tips of tools that you might use that other people who might want to give video a go or content in general a go? What are some tools that you actually use that might actually help other people get started?
Yeah, sure. I think this video tool is not a stranger to a lot of people. It's called InShot. It's an app. I just really love this because it's just so simple. On the go, when I'm going out for grabbing a Starbucks coffee or anything, I can just like sort of edit a video very quickly over there. And it's just the most simple way for me to edit a video, and for free. It's a really great tool to start with. But if you want a little bit more advanced, I have a pay app that it's called Subtitles, which auto generates subtitles for all the videos that I made on LinkedIn. That really helps me to communicate. And just to remember, people that watching your video on LinkedIn, up to 70% of people are actually not listening to it because they might be scrolling through it and then it's mute automatically. So making sure you have that subtitles as well.
Yeah, look, and that for me, I'm not a huge video editor, but I use Capwing for my subtitles and some of my other bits and pieces. Shout out to Jillian Whitney, who helped me wrap my head around that. She's the easy peasy video coach. And I think that's one of the things I realized. If you're not good at something, ask someone for help.
Again, the best way for solopreneurs or entrepreneur to be, right? You got a choice. If you hate doing something, then outsource it. You have the choice.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, my tool that I probably couldn't live without, and a lot of people would say Canva, but that's my Achilles heel. I use it. I'm becoming friends with it, but it's a great tool for free and it's better than me having to pay people. But oh man, my head works in words. It doesn't work in colors or okay. graphics. And so I want to rock in a corner when I go in there, but we're getting there. But I think right. one of my favorite tools for content creation is actually my scheduling tool. So I use one called Social, just because I'm writing content for other companies for their pages, plus my own company page, plus my own personal stuff. Sometimes I could be writing about 50 posts a week, which I can tell you, you can't just do that on the day because things pop up in business, emergencies, like life happens. Like you could be working from home and then all of a sudden someone starts doing building work next door and it all goes out the window. So scheduling tool for me is something that I can create, as you said, in my zone of genius. So on those days, for me, it's when I wake up, have my morning coffee, those first 2 hours, I'm amazing. Come to me in the afternoon between 2 and 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Do not ask me to do anything. Like I am hopeless at that time of day. So if I leave things too late, but that's still a good time for me to post, but it's not a good time for me to create. As I said, I use Social Pilot. There are heaps of other ones that people use out there. But for me, creating when I'm at my best, scheduling it for when's best for my audience, that's probably the tool that I would say is my favorite one. So what I love to leave people with actions, right? Because the people that listen into the show are action takers. I don't want people to just listen to this show and go and do nothing. So what's the best piece of advice that you could leave people with today who actually want to take an action and get started with their content journey?
Just go and do it. Put the ego in another room. The same advice. Just start. Really just start.
I love it because I knew you were going to say that. I'm like, I'm going to set it up and you're just going to smash that out the park. It's the whole Nike, just do it. And I think it's important though, like you said it before, let's go back a second to the mindset that gets in the way. Is there something that you see with the people that you work with is the most common mindset problem that, you know, gets in the way of people just doing it? What is it that they're worried about?
I think it's really the ego part as well as not knowing the result. But I always question, like, why are you carrying the result or what I call the vanity metric so early on? Because that will come in later. One of the really perfect story that you shared earlier, Michelle, is that you used to work for a company, you have this amazing community, they come with you, but that company leave without that tribe, without that community, they need to start building up, right? Building that brand up. And it takes time. It's not overnight you're going to have a viral post. This is, again, not realistic and that's not the truth and give you so much pressure of doing that. Your next post, you're not going to get 5 or 10 or 20 or like 100 engagement or likes. Those are not important. You just need to show up for your audience, try to communicate and market and sell yourself, the message is really hitting the challenge, really hitting the desirable outcome that your clients want to desire, your client will come to you. Really, yes. It's just as simple as that. Yeah.
And I just want to remind people that 99% of other people on the platform aren't creating content. So if you want to be in the top 1%, no matter how your post performs, you're already in front of so many other people. That's the massive opportunity to get off the bench, get out and play, and to take that analogy somewhere else. You miss 100% of the shots you never take. So if you are out there and you're playing and you give it a go, then you've got a chance. But if you just sit back and just watch what everyone else is doing, leave your Ferrari parked in the garage, unfortunately, people are going to miss out on getting to know you more. So I am absolutely grateful that we've had this conversation. And I am sad that this 30 minutes has just disappeared so quickly, because I feel like we talk and talk. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for all of the wisdom that you've shared with people as a content creator, as a solopreneur, as a business owner. I love what you're doing. I love how you're empowering people. And thanks again for joining the Good for Business show.
Thank you.
I don't want you to just listen to this episode. I want you to take action to grow your business. So let's connect on LinkedIn and continue the conversation over there. Find me at Michelle J. Raymond, and my company page is Good Trading Co. Cheers.